Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
This program is for all ages, but especially for young people, and it's based on my book, God's Not Boring. And I want to share with you the gospel from Mark chapter 10. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt down before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus looked at him and loved him. And he said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you have and give the money to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." And at that saying, the man's countenance fell, his face fell, and he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Out of that entire reading, there are many points I could talk about, but the main point that I wanted to look or think about was that look of Jesus. This man came up to him. We are told that he was a rich, young ruler. He had money, he had power, he had youth, he had everything that the world wants. And he came up to Jesus looking for life. Apparently, he wasn't happy, he wasn't satisfied, he needed something more, and he came to Jesus, the Master. And Jesus looked at him, and it was a look of love, the Bible says. And that's exactly what I want to say to everybody watching this program. Jesus is looking at you right now, especially young people, teenagers, and it's a look of love. He loves you passionately and unconditionally. And because he loves you, it doesn't mean that you can do anything that you want to do. It's a call to intimacy. It's a call to a relationship with him. He looks at you every day of your life, all the time, and it's a look of love. I remember when I was a young man, I was in the ninth grade, a teacher of mine, my English teacher, he came up to me and I was sitting at my desk and he gave me a book, and with the book was a look, and it was a look of encouragement, a little smile on his face, a wry smile, and he gave me the book and I looked at the book and he didn't give it to anybody else in the class, just to me. And I thought, what is this? And why is he coming to me and looking at me? And I looked at the book and it was Dickens' Great Expectations. And I realized when he gave me that book that the title itself was speaking volumes, that teacher had great expectations about me. And with that book came that look of, "Cedric, you can do it. You have potential. I believe in you." And I never forgot what that teacher did to me that day, because he encouraged me just by giving me that book and by that look. And in the same way, I believe that that look that Jesus gave to that young man was a look of encouragement. He saw great potential in this young man. He saw great ability in this young man, and he thought, this young man can do great things. So he looked to him in love. And I believe that that's the way Jesus looks at you. He doesn't look at you with a condemning look. The scripture says that God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. So his look is always a look of encouragement. It's a look of love. It's a look of trying to help you to realize your potential. So please realize, as you're watching the program right now, Jesus is looking at you. Now, maybe you've sinned or maybe you've done some things wrong. He's not condemning you. He's looking at you to encourage you, to bring out the best in you, to help you to become all that you can be. I remember the story of a young man named Francesco, a nice Italiano. He loved money, he had the best of life, and that's the way he lived his young life. Partying, girls, money, he had it all. But inside he wasn't happy. And then one day he had a great conversion. And he had a conversion because he heard this story about the rich young man whom he identified with coming up to Jesus looking for life. And Jesus challenged him to follow him and to give away what he had, to be radically poor. And so this young man had a conversion. Of course, the Francesco I'm talking about is Francis, St. Francis of Assisi. And Francis gave away all the riches that he had. He abandoned his partying lifestyle, and he followed Jesus. And look what he became. Talk about potential. St. Francis founded the religious community called the Franciscans. He lived with tremendous gospel poverty, amazing joy. You see, he had everything, but he had nothing inside. And that's the way life can be sometimes. You do everything that the culture and the world says that you can do to be happy. You know, the partying and the money and the relationships and everything else. But it leaves you empty inside because we were made for more. That's what St. Augustine said. He said that, Lord, our hearts were made for you and our hearts are restless. Do you have a restless heart? Well, if you do, it's probably God calling you, wooing you to himself. And he said, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And that's exactly what happened to Francis. And so, as you know, Francis had a great conversion, founded the Franciscan community, lived with great poverty and great joy. And to me, there's a dichotomy between these two men, this rich young man that came up to Jesus and another rich young man who came to Jesus called Francis. One of them was presented with the call to follow Jesus, and he went away sad. The other was presented with the call to follow Jesus, and he stayed and was glad. Both of them had great potential. Think about this first man. Jesus called this rich young man, and he said, follow me. Can you imagine what this young man could have been? Let's just give him Aaron. Nice young Jewish man, rich, a ruler, had everything. Imagine if Aaron had followed Jesus, what he could have become. He might have been a gospel writer. We might have five gospels today, the gospel according to Aaron, and it might have been the best gospel ever written, but we'll never know because the young man didn't realize his potential. He went away sad because he chose the world over Jesus, and it said that his countenance fell. Another young man, Francis, he's presented with a gospel. He had it all also, but he said yes to Jesus, and now look at the legacy that he left. See, both had potential, but only one realized his potential. The other one we'll never hear from again. That's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. Not only that he went away sad, but that he never realized his potential and we'll never hear from him again. But one of the great stories is, of course, in our Catholic tradition is St. Francis of Assisi and how he did realize his potential, how he showed us what a disciple in Christ can be. And to me, he's a role model for all young people. He had such potential. He came to Jesus and he experienced the gladness. I believe that Jesus is calling you, whether you're young or old. He's calling you to a deep personal relationship. He's calling you to true happiness and to forsake the things of the world that seem to give you happiness, and they do for a little while, but they don't last. Jesus calls us to enduring happiness, to something that lasts. And I want to tell you that you are loved passionately, unconditionally, intimately. In the Bible, we hear from another young person, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah complains to God. He says, you're calling me to preach the gospel. He says, I'm too young. I don't know how to do this. God says, don't say you're too young. I've called you. And then Jeremiah 29:11, this famous verse where God says through Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not your woe, a future full of hope. Whenever I see a young person, I think of Jeremiah. You know, the plans, God knows the plans that he has for you. It's a future full of hope, not woe, but hope. And that's what I want to try to instill in you. And even if you're not a young person, if you're an older person, still, God has a plan for your life. It's a future full of hope. See, with God, things just keep getting better and better. It's like a person traveling down the road and the sun's coming up, and it gets brighter and brighter until the noonday. That's what one of the Psalms says, that the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter until the noonday. So we have a beautiful plan. God has a beautiful plan for your life. As I get to travel the United States, and you know, I preach missions all around the U.S., north, south, east, and west, I see many young people in my travels, and I have seen such a great hunger in our young people, tremendous thirst for something more. That's exactly what this young man in the gospel had. He ran up to Jesus. You know, this isn't a man who maybe wants to know something. This guy really wants to know. And then it says that he knelt before Jesus. It's like, give me the answer. How do you get life? And Jesus told him the truth, and that's what many young people tell me. You know, don't water it down. Tell us the truth. Tell us what we need to know. And Jesus told it to him, and he couldn't accept it. But some people do, and the ones who do live forever, and they realize their potential. And I believe that you're that person. So I see a great hunger in youth. I remember one time I was in Orlando, Florida. I was preaching at a church in Orlando, big, huge church. If you're watching me in Orlando, it was St. Stephen's Church. Big marble, rich, very wealthy. And I'll never forget this. I preached the gospel that weekend, and at one of the masses, there was a young man. He came up to me after, and I was walking out down the aisle, and he grabbed my arm, and he said, "Father, can I talk with you?" And I said, "Sure." And he reminded me of the rich young man. Here's this young man who was about 16 years old. He told me he was a junior in high school, maybe he was 17. He had kind of one of these chains around his neck, gold chains. Very good-looking young man, sleek, had money in a wealthy neighborhood. And he sat down with me and he said, "Father," he said, "I have to tell you something." He said, this church is beautiful, isn't it?" And I said, "Well, yeah." I looked around, you know, state-of-the-art sound system, marble sanctuary, and beautiful seats, about 1,200 people in the round. It was an excellent church. "Well," he said, it's a lovely church." He said, "My parents have put thousands of dollars into the building fund to build this church. Week after week, they bring me to Mass." And he says, "To be honest, I don't really want to come to Mass. They make me come." And he says, "I have to be honest with you, Father." He said, "I come to Mass week after week. They've built this huge building." And he said, "I don't know the God to whom this building has been built." He said, "The only reason I come to Mass is because my parents make me come. But this weekend, all of a sudden you get up there, you're a guest preacher." And he said, "Really, for the first time, I was able to hear you. And the way you spoke, I was able to understand. And you gave me hope. You gave me hope that I could know God in my life." And he said, "The reason why I wanted to talk with you is, can you help me?" I smiled at him. I said, "Young man, you are on the right track because you have a hunger. You have a thirst." And I told him, I said, "That's exactly what happened to me as a young man. I was born and brought up Catholic. I used to go to this big church. I didn't know the God to whom the church was built. But I had a hunger and a thirst. And as I continued to seek for God, I finally found him." And what I told the young man was, don't lose your thirst. Don't lose your hunger, because the Book of Wisdom says that the desire to learn, the Book of Wisdom says, the desire to learn is the beginning of wisdom. So in other words, your restlessness, your hunger, your thirst, your inner craving, that desire to learn is the beginning of wisdom. I really believe that that's the Holy Spirit moving in you. And if you have that in you, whether you're young or old, if you have that in you, don't think, "Well, you know, something's wrong with me." No, think rather, that's God calling you, wooing you to himself. Because I remember when I was a teenager, that's what happened to me. I had all this desire about what is life, and it happened to me in the mornings. I would wake up in the morning and I'd sit on the edge of my bed and I'd look around and I'd go, "What is this? And I'm missing something, and there's got to be more to life, and I don't know what it is." And then I go on with my day and I forget about it. I wake up in the morning again and it's like, I'm missing something and I need something more, and I'm not sure what it was. Well, I was born and brought up Catholic, but as I said, church wasn't meeting my needs. So as a young person, I fell away. And then I thought to myself, well, maybe it is God that I'm missing, that I need to be looking for. So I began to search. And as I searched, where do you search? Well, I went to the Bible. And I remember I began flipping through the Bible, and I heard the words, "Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open. Seek and you will find." And I go, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm I'm asking and I'm seeking and I'm knocking and I'm looking, and Jesus is saying that you will find. So I had that hunger, and see what you have to do, hungry people go to the refrigerator and they get something to eat. Thirsty people go to the water fountain and they get something to drink. In the same way, when you have any kind of a craving, what you have to do is you have to fulfill that craving by making a move. And that's exactly what I did. I came to the scriptures, and then one night as a teenager, I'm 18 years old, I was touched by the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And that's the gift that Francis was searching for. That's the gift that the young man was searching for. It's a relationship with God in the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, I have come that you may have life and life abundant. See, everybody's got life, but not everybody has life abundant. And that's what Jesus, that's his job description. He came to anoint us, to baptize us, to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, you know, confirmation for young people, it's supposed to be this great filling with the abundant life, and it turns out to be this great emptying because they don't feel anything. And that's what happened to me, and I fell away. So I want to encourage you, teenagers especially, that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you must take responsibility for your hunger. You must seek and ask and knock and stay with it and simply believe. I pray that this program will give you faith that God is looking at you personally, that he loves you passionately, and because of that faith that you will come to new life in Christ. As I told you, as I travel, I'm meeting young people everywhere with such hunger. I was in Eunice, Louisiana, just a few months ago. I was preaching a mission there. That's right by Lafayette, Louisiana, just a little bit west of Lafayette. Every morning and evening, there were 6 8th grade girls that were sitting there about in the third row all together, and they didn't have to be there. At first, I thought they were just getting out of school because they wanted to get out of school and they came to my mission in the morning, but they were there at night too, every day. And I went up to them and I introduced myself and I said, young ladies, I said, I am so encouraged that you are coming to the mission. I gave them my book, God's Not Boring for Young People, and I thanked them for coming. And they had wonderful joy about them. See, they were hungry for God. They wanted more of God. And they came to the mission of their own volition. And I get this all the time. I get it from, for example, I'll be at a Life Teen Mass. Usually on Sunday night, I'll be preaching at the Life Teen Mass. I used to dread those masses because years ago, it seemed like the teenagers were fooling around. Now, everybody sits there and they're quiet. They're hungry. They're listening. Our teenagers are starving for God. They want a relationship with God. They want to hear the good news. And if you're a teenager watching, I pray that this program will help you to develop your relationship with God. Jesus is looking at you with love. He sees your potential. He wants you to live with passion. A young woman named Sarah in Pittsburgh, where I was preaching, she's a junior in high school, 17 years old. Well, she came to the mission. She said she loved the mission. She emailed me about it. And then she said that she won a contest, you know, selling things. They gave her a free trip anywhere she wanted to go. She said, Father, I'm going to use the money to come to one of your missions because I want to hear you speak again. And that really touched my heart. Others, I was preaching in San Antonio. This young man came to me. He was on his spring break. Instead of taking off to Mexico, instead of going anywhere on vacation, he came to the mission. I had him stand up in front of everybody and tell everybody in the congregation about what he did. Everybody clapped for him. I thought it was very beautiful because he was using his spring break to find Jesus and to look for Jesus. And then really quickly, I had some sound problems in San Antonio just in a recent mission that I was giving. 800 people in the church. I'm just about to go out and preach, and the sound system doesn't work, and the air conditioning doesn't work. I was going to have to cancel the mission. We had 15 priests there all ready to hear confessions. Everything was assembled, and for some reason, the electricity went out, but we had a little bit, we had some auxiliary electricity. Well, I got up in front of the whole congregation. I said, folks, I said, I'm sorry, we have no sound system. We're working on it. Please give us a few minutes. At that moment, when I made that announcement, 3 young people jump up. It turned out that they were teenagers who were coming to the mission because they wanted to hear the good news. They jump up and they came up to me and they said, Father, we're in the youth group music choir and we have a speaker we think we can hook up and maybe it'll work for you. So I said, please do it, you know, do whatever you can do. So they got this big speaker on a stand. You know, this is 800 people sitting out there. And then they gave me the microphone, they plugged it in, and it worked. And I was able to preach to that whole congregation, even though we didn't have any sound system, because of what those young people did. And what I'm saying is that young people are coming. They're hungry. They want more of God. And God is using young people today to reach out to other young people. I remember I was preaching a mission one time in the Woodlands. This is up in northern Houston. And I was at my book table. I had written 8 books at the time. And I was at my book table, and 2 women came up to me and said, Father, God has told us what your next book is going to be. And I said, oh yeah, what's it going to be? They said, God has told us that he wants you to write a book for teenagers, for young people. And I thought to myself, you know what? They're right. I've written 8 books, and I didn't know what book to write next. And a book for young people. I used to be a youth minister before I became a priest. I love reaching out to teenagers. In fact, one of the reasons why I wanted to get on TV is so that I could reach out to teenagers to bring them into a deep personal relationship with Jesus, because that's what I didn't have when I was a teenager. And I want that more than anything for our teenagers, because they're being bombarded by the culture and by society and by all these negative voices and by all these deceiving voices. Well, I want to be a voice of truth in the world. So anyway, make a long story short, I went to Slidell, Louisiana. That's just north of New Orleans. And I remember I was sitting with the youth minister there in Slidell at St. Margaret Mary Parish. Her first name was Lindsay. I said, Lindsay, I'm about to write a book for young people. I said, if you're a youth minister, I said, if you were to put a title on it, what would you call it? And she said, oh, Father, that's easy. Call it God's Not Boring. And I thought to myself, yes, that's a perfect title for my book, because I remember when I was a teenager going to Mass back in the 60s and the 70s, Mass seemed so boring. It was this ritual, this, quote, archaic ritual that had no impact in my life, had no influence in my life. The preaching seemed very boring, and I didn't get anything out of Mass, and that's one of the reasons why I fell away. And I said, if God is anything like Mass, he's a stuck in the mud, and I don't want anything to do with him. Well, I found out something very different about God. God's not a stuck in the mud at all. God is passionate. God is alive. God is full of grace and love, and everything that you like in life is from God. So I wrote a book called God's Not Boring. It has some of my best stories in it. It's expressly for teenagers, people in their 20s and 30s even, actually for all ages. But I put my best stories in there, some very vulnerable stories. I had to get permission from my superior to write the first chapter, which I share about some of my encounters, my relationships when I was a young person. I had to get permission to write this book. That's how vulnerable some of my stories are in this book. Well, anyway, it's because I want to impact young people. Well, on the cover, I put some interesting things. I put a cross in the middle, I put Mass, and then I put a sunset. I put a person bungee jumping, and some young people on a boat wave cutting. And the reason why I put that is because I want people to realize that everything is from God. God's not boring. Rather, everything that you like in life, sunsets, sunrises, excitement, bungee jumping, skiing, music, everything is from God, and Mass included. Mass isn't divorced from the rest of life. The cross isn't divorced from everything that you like. Rather, everything that you like in life, I listed some things, nature, mountains, the ocean, rafting, travel, baseball, football, water skiing, art, poetry, dancing, swimming, your favorite music, iPhones, photography, computers, friends, colors, sounds, tastes, food, cars, computers, as I said, the stars. See, God is passionate and exciting. Everything is from God. And I want you to realize that God's not boring. He's for you, and he loves you, and he's calling you to a relationship. And just as Jesus looked at that young man with that look of love, looking for the potential in him, inviting him to become more, inviting him to an eternal, everlasting relationship with him, he's inviting you to the same thing. And I pray that unlike this rich young man who went away sad, that you'll be more like St. Francis of Assisi, that you'll take Jesus as his word, you'll come to him, you'll allow him to do a great work in you. My prayer is that you will receive Jesus in a deep personal way, whether you're young or old. You'll realize the passionate, exciting, loving God that we have in the depths of our heart. Don't just live, live with passion. Well, as I've said, I began my ministry being a youth minister, and I reached out to teenagers for many years in the state of Missouri. I also reach out to teenagers now as a Catholic priest, presiding at Life Teen Masses and proclaiming at youth conferences that Jesus is Lord. And I wrote this book called God's Not Boring, as I talked about. In this book, I wrote for teenagers and people in their 20s and even their 30s. It applies to them. It has their issues in mind. I talk in good, easy to read and understand stories. I really want to reach out to the young people. If you have a teenager in your life, you want to share this book, this would be the book. And also, Glorious Holy Spirit is perfect for somebody, a young person going through confirmation. I write in terms that they will understand for the Holy Spirit. They can come into a deep personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changed me when I was 19. So when you're a teenager, you can come to understand and to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So this book will help. I want you to know that I'm reaching out to teenagers, but because of these programs now, they're on nationally on the Church Channel, that's Trinity Broadcasting Network. They're reaching out to people in prison all around the country, and I'm getting all kinds of letters from these folks, and this one really touched my heart. It said that they watch my broadcast on the Church Channel, and many of us discuss Father's telecast the weekend after the Monday night mass, and in their chapel, we're very devoted to watching Father Cedric. They said, oh yeah, in parentheses, they like Fulton Sheen too. But anyway, they said, on behalf of the West Compound of the Eastern Correctional Institute, the Diocese of Wilmington, thanks to Father Cedric. So this really touches my life. I have to tell you that because of my partners, we are sending books to many people who are in prison. Anybody that requests or asks for it, we're sending books for free. So would you help me in my ministry of reaching out to the folks in prison and also to young people by purchasing my resources, by donating to my ministry, so that I can continue to produce programs and reach out around the country and also reach out to folks that normally would not hear the gospel in an inspirational way. Thank you so much in advance for your support of my ministry. And remember, don't just live, live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.